Punjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopni Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janarandana Nandana Braja Janarandana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janarandana Nandana Braja Janarandana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Hari Krishna Hari Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Nityai Gora Hari Bol 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 Nityai Gora Hari Tulasi Devi Maharani ki Gaura Premanandi. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to the lotus feet of Shushi Guru and Gauranga. Okay, reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 4, text 29. Shri Sukha Uvacha Brahma Sapapa Deshena kalena maga banchita samritya swakulam spitam tyaksham dehama chintayat shri sukha uvacha brahma sapapa deshena kalena maga banchita samhritya swakulam spitam tyaksham dehama chintayat Brahma sa papa deshena kalena maga banchita samhritya swakulam spitam tyaksham dehama chintayat brahma sa papa deshena kalena maga banchita Samritya swakulam spitam yaksham deham achintayat brahma sa papa deshena kalena maga banchita
Word by word. Please repeat after me. Shri Sukha Uvacha. Shri Sukadeva Goswami said. Brahma Sapa. Cursing by the Brahmanas. Apadeshena. On the plea by which a show.
On the plea by which a show.
Kalena.
By the eternal time.
Amoga, unfailing. Panchitaha, one who so desires.
Samritya,
closing. Swakulam,
own
family.
Spitam,
excessively numerous.
Tyaksham,
after giving up. Deham, the universal form.
Achintayat,
thought to himself.
Translation
by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Sukadeva Goswami replied, my dear king, please repeat after me, I'm sorry. Sukadeva Goswami replied,
my dear king,
the cursing of the Brahmanas
was only a
plea, but
the actual fact
was the supreme desire of the Lord. He wanted to disappear
from the face of the earth
after dispatching his excessively numerous family members. He thought to himself as follows. Okay. So this is the purport. It's a long purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the word Tyaksham is very significant in relation to Lord Sri Krishna leaving his body, since he is the eternal form of existence, knowledge, and bliss. His body and his self are identical. Therefore, how is it possible that he would leave his body and then disappear from the vision of the world? There is a great controversy among the non-devotees or Mayavadis about the mysterious disappearance of the Lord. And the doubts of those men with a poor fund of knowledge have been very elaborately cleared by Srila Jiva Goswami in his Krishna Sandarbha. According to Brahma Samhita, the Lord has many forms. It is stated therein that the Lord has innumerable forms, and when he appears within the vision of the living entities as Lord Krishna actually appear, all such forms amalgamate with him. Besides all these infallible forms, he has his universal form as manifested before Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Here in this verse, the word Pitam is also used, which indicates that he left his gigantic universal form called the Virat Rupa, not his primeval, eternal form, because there is hardly any possibility of his changing his form of Sat-Chit Ananda. This simple understanding is at once realized by the devotees of the Lord. But those who are non-devotees, who perform hardly any devotional service to the Lord, either do not understand the simple fact or purposely raise a controversy to defeat the eternity of the transcendental body of the Lord. This is due to the defect called the cheating propensity of the imperfect living entities. By practical experience also, it is seen up to the present day that the Lord's transcendental form is worshipped by devotees in different temples. And all the devotees of the Lord factually realize that the form of the deity in the temple is no different from the form of the Lord. This inconceivable performance of the internal potency of the Lord is described in Bhagavad Gita 7:25. Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samritaha. The Lord reserves the right of not being exposed to everyone. In the Padma Purana it is said, Atta Shri Krishna Namadina Bhaved Grahyam Indriyai. The name and form of the Lord cannot be perceived by the material senses, but when he appears within the vision of the mundane people, he assumes the form of the Virat Rupa. This is an additional material exhibition of form and is supported by the logic of his subject and his its objectives. In grammar, when an objective is taken away from the subject it modifies does not change. Similarly, when the Lord quits his Virat Rupa, his eternal form does not change, although there is no material difference between himself and any of his innumerable forms. Well, let me read that again. His eternal form does not change, although there is no material difference between himself and any of his innumerable forms. In the fifth canto, it will be seen how the Lord is worshipped in different planets in his different forms, even now, and how he's worshipped in different temples of this earth also. Srila Jiva Goswami and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur have very elaborately explained this incident of the Lord's disappearance in their commentaries. Quoting various authentic versions of Vedic literatures, we purposely do not include them all here to avoid an increase in the volume of this book. The entire matter is explained in Bhagavad Gita as quoted above. The Lord reserves the right of not being exposed to everyone. He always keeps himself out of the vision of the non-devotees, who are devoid of love and devotion. And thus he puts them still farther away from the Lord. The Lord appeared on the invitation of Brahma, who prayed before the Shirodakashai Vishnu. And therefore, when the Lord appeared, all the forms of Vishnu amalgamated with him, and when the mission was fulfilled, all of them disintegrated from him in the usual course. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Ajnanate Mirandarasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I offer my humble and respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who has forced to open my eyes with torch-like knowledge. I offer my humble and respectful obeisances unto Him. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthavu Talishimata Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Goravani Prachalina Nirvishesha Sunya Vari Paschakyara Satarini. Namaste Saraswati Devi Goravani Prachalini Nirvishesha Sunya Vari Paschakyara Satarini. Hari 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 Bol. Well, the verse again, because that was such a long purport, we probably forgot the verse. Sukadeva Goswami replied, "My dear King, the cursing of the Brahmanas was only a plea, but the actual fact was the supreme desire of the Lord. He wanted to disappear from the face of the earth after dispatching his excessively numerous family members. He thought to himself as follows." And then Srila Prabhupada went into this very long purport, and I was trying, I'm a very methodical person and I like to categorize things, but when I read this purport, I realized that I couldn't categorize anything. I said, how can I categorize things? And I always think in terms of agenda. Well, my agenda is the number one, I'll talk about this, number two, I'll talk about that. But then I realized that, well, this is beyond the beyond. Because if you really pay attention to the purport, what it's talking about, is like, well, how can I bring some light to this, to the meaning of these words in the purport, so that the devotees will get some appreciation and idea. So the only thing that I could think of was about a poem. Actually, I wrote two poems many, many years ago, but I wrote this poem maybe about 15 years ago, and unfortunately, I don't have a date for it. Before I became a flautist and a musician and a devotee, I used to be a poet, or I still am some kind of a poet, but at the time, I used to do a lot of poetry readings in San Francisco, Bay Area. And then later on, when I became a devotee, then I wrote some poetry in glorification of the Supreme Lord. So I wrote this poem maybe about 15 years ago, which I think may shed a little light on the purport of what Srila Prabhupada is talking about. The poem reads like this. "Today, I have seen your mask, changing faces in the sun. A lion, a boar, a dwarf, a horse, a beautiful woman playing with a ball. But in this moment, I see you as you are, a small child playing with time. And I have caught you because I know your name, Krishna." So, because Srila Prabhupada is talking about how it's like very hard to explain. Otherwise, that's an image that I got in vision when I wrote that poem, which is almost like what Srila Prabhupada is talking about here, that all of these forms, they come with the Supreme Lord and they go out with him, but actually the Supreme Lord, the Satchitananda Vigraha form of Krishna, he is It's just a child, Nanda Kishore. He's just playing on his flute by the banks of the Yamuna River in our hearts. And he's always playing on his flute. He's always playing beautiful melodies and creating life, creating universes. So the question is how, because the Mayavadis, they have their own, as Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada is talking about in the purport, they have their own conception of the Supreme Lord. But they cannot reach this depth, this understanding that Krishna is actually like he's a child. He's a young boy, and he's always playing on his flute, like he's playing on the altar there. Always playing on his flute. How are we supposed to understand this? Well, I apologize for not having been coming to the temple very often because I've been dealing with some serious situation in my health. So I start some of the therapies very early in the morning, at 1 a.m, following some of the Ayurvedic principles. But I listen all the time to the classes, and I've been listening to some very, very interesting classes that have been given here by very, very nice devotees, actually. We are very fortunate. We have with so many great devotees and very talented, very expert in giving this class. Yesterday, actually, we'll start with this one, this class which was given yesterday by Prangovinda Maharaj. And he was talking about basically how we can enter into these pastimes of the Supreme Lord by the agency, by the surrender to a spiritual master. He started mentioning that in his class, that it is by the mercy, by the grace of the guru or the spiritual teacher that we are given the insight to understand that Krishna is a person that plays on his flute. Now, this is very, very important, and it is not given to us. It is something that you have to look for, that you have to search out. And I'm going to tell you a story here. We'll start, there are a couple of stories, but I'll tell you this story that makes this point. Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Maharaj, who is on our altar here next to Srila Prabhupada, he's the teacher of Srila Prabhupada. He was a great, 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 great scholar. I mean, I'm talking about someone that has come to this planet. No scholar had come to this planet in the last 300 or 400 years. I mean, one of a kind. Extraordinary. He knew astronomy, astrology. He could chant the Bhagavad Gita in Sanskrit at the age of 7. I mean, he was extraordinary. The son of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But you know what? He got to a point in his life where he realized, because he was so talented, so brilliant, he realized, well, I cannot go beyond this unless I have the mercy of a guru. Unless I have the mercy of my guru, not like a guru. Not like, well, I'm just going to have the mercy from this guru, and if this guru doesn't give me mercy, I'll go to another guru. No. He realized that Gaurakishordas Babaji was his guru. So he went to Gaurakishordas Babaji and asked him for initiation. And Gaurakishordas Babaji, he was interested only in chanting Hare Krishna, and he was so always testing people, you know, didn't really trust that people were going to follow the principles, and he was just mainly interested in chanting the names of God. And he really was reluctant to give initiation to Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. So one day, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj approached him and said, I would like to request and beg you that you give me initiation into the Hare Krishna mantra, into the teachings, and you give me your mercy so that I can understand what we are talking about here, that Krishna, the Supreme Lord, is an actual child playing on his flute, and all of these other incarnations, they are with him. And they were by the bank of the Ganges. And Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he was right there on the bridge of the Ganges. And he said, And Gaurav Kishordas Babaji didn't want to hear it, didn't want to give him initiation because he didn't want any disciples, he didn't want any entanglements. And Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said, if you don't give me initiation, then my life does not have any value. And I will jump from this bridge and I'll kill myself. There is no point in me being alive if I don't get your mercy. And Gaurav Kishordas Babaji said, he thought for a second and thought, well, to have a disciple like you would be a great thing, a good thing to have. Krishna would like to have you as my disciple. And then he accepted Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj as his disciple. So you can just imagine this. This is not a make-believe. A lot of devotees say, well, it was just Leela. He was supposed to be like that. No, he wasn't like that. He was serious. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was serious. He knew he needed the mercy of his guru in order to understand this. To understand that Krishna is a person, to see that Krishna, not just to understand, but to see, to experience that Krishna, as a young child, is playing on his flute and is creating all the universes, and everything emanates from him, truly speaking. And all this whole material creation actually comes from the playing of his flute. So, this is one story that makes a very, very important point about how all the incarnations amalgamate within the form of Krishna. But Krishna himself, the Satchitananda Vigraha form, is the one who is always playing on his flute. He's doing, he's just playing on his flute. Yeah, I'm still talking about Bhagavatam. We cannot give a concert here, just a couple of notes just to give you. He plays, of course, as Rupa Goswami explains, he plays many different kinds of flutes. He plays the bansuri, it is a bansuri flute. He also plays the bamsi, which is a little smaller. Then he plays Murali flute. The Murali plays from the top of the lips of his mouth into it. It has four holes on the body of the flute, as Rupa Goswami explains very clearly. And then he has many kinds of flutes made out of gold and glass, and very extraordinary. So then the purport goes into something very interesting here, which is that he's talking about how the that Krishna indicates that he left his gigantic universal form called the Virat Rupa, not his primeval eternal form, because there is hardly any possibility of his changing his form of Satchitananda. So he is ultimately a child playing with his flute, but he has all of these other forms, and one of them, the form that is always here with us in this material creation, is the Virat Rupa. Now, the Virat Rupa, recently I had this experience. It's hard to grasp, but as I was having this meditation, very, very intense meditation, because I was just given this prognosis that I was not in very good health, and actually it was a life-threatening condition. I'm still under that threat. And And I was meditating and chanting my rounds at 3 a.m. in the hospital. And then I got this vision of Bhaktisiddhartha Swami Maharaj, my mentor and Shiksha Guru. And he comes and said, "Maharaj, don't worry too much about these things." He said, the whole creation, everything you see, everything that there is a multidimensional. We live in a multidimensional system. And all of these dimensional systems, they are all controlled under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is always playing on his flute. That's what he said. He said, "So don't worry too much about it. If Krishna has some other engagement for you, then you'll go to the next engagement. If he has some engagement for you in this lifetime, then you'll continue in this lifetime and you continue doing this engagement. It's all under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead." So right after that, it happened that while we were there, we were reading from the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita on the universal form, 1134. And it happened that that was the verse we were supposed to read that night. And the verse says that I am time, destroyer, because Arjuna asks him, "Well, who are you?" And Krishna says, "I am time, destroyer of worlds, and I have come to engage all people." To engage all people, that is the actual words. Meaning, I have come to give devotional service, to engage. Because Krishna is a loving God. He wants to help us to reach another state of transcendence so that we can realize what the purport is talking about here, that he is Satchitananda Vigraha, and that we can elevate our consciousness to a higher consciousness. The time I am, destroyer of worlds, and I have come to engage all people so that you can get out of this material world and be free from what? Be free from the illusion. Be free from the Maya, what we call the reflection of a shadow, which is on the second nutshell verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.35, in which it says that everything that you do, everything that you perform, whatever activities you do, whatever you think that doesn't have Krishna in the center, then it becomes a reflection of a shadow. And as in the great, some very nice lectures that Ramapad Swami gave here a few months ago, he said that what the Bhagavatam means by shadow is actually the darkness of the false ego. So the darkness of the false ego with the shadow is very tricky. You can't just overcome that unless you have the mercy of a guru. You just can't overcome it because you will put Krishna to the side and you will try to enjoy your senses or you'll try to enjoy separately from Krishna. As we have said before, it is like being in a movie. This whole material creation is a film. And we become attached to this film by two identifications, which I thought they were very nicely described yesterday again by Prangovinda Maharaj. He said there are these two identifications. Our identification with the eye of the camera, which is Prakriti, the material world. We want to be this eye that can see everything, that can go everywhere. And the second identification, which is that we identify with our persona, with the character of the film. I'm black and white and Chinese, I'm American, I am this, I'm that, I'm Spanish. So we identify with this, and because of these identifications, we create this empathy with the material false ego. And then we are in this reflection of a shadow, which is very difficult to get out of. You know, that is the Maya. Prahlad Maharaj was praying to Lord Nrsimhadev, I am not afraid of your mane, I am not afraid of your awesome form, but I'm very much afraid of your illusory energy. So please don't send me this illusory energy. So this illusory energy is that reflection of a shadow which makes us forget Krishna, that which makes us put something else ahead of Krishna, before Krishna. We think that we are the doers of that activity. And the Maya is very, very tricky. It's that reflection of a shadow you cannot play around with. You cannot play around with. It's like Bhakti Charur Swami, he was asked, well, how do you deal with it? He said, close the door gently. And I would add quickly. Close the door gently, quickly. Because once you see the Maya coming, or the illusion, the reflection of a shadow, it's just going to come very quickly. Why? Because from chapter 14 of the Bhagavad Gita, and of course chapter 18, verses from 1 through 15, we know that the whole, this Maya reflection of the shadow has three modes that kind of involve the individual and make you forget Krishna. Goodness, passion, and ignorance. Satyam, Rajas, Tamas, you know, they very imperceptibly come to you and they make you believe that this is what the reality is and that you should be doing this thing. Even though you may be on the throats of death, even though you may be about to die, maybe you are very close to leaving this material world, still, these modes of the material energy are going to come and try to take you away from this reality that there is nothing other than Krishna. Krishna really is at the center of all activities. As soon as we forget that, then we are at the mercy of the reflection of the shadow. So, and again, this is a very long purport. We only have a few more minutes before we open up for questions. I was just trying to elaborate on some of this, but I wanted to read one more poem that makes this point. I wrote it, I think, a long time ago, maybe 20 years ago. It said, this was published by my daughter Bhakti in one of her videos that she did of India when she was in India. And she published it on YouTube. And this is the poem. I need to cross the ocean, walk millions of miles, and fly through the skies until one day, tired of this body, I will lay down and pray and remember who I am. My body is dust, but my soul is the light of the sun, the flame that burns incessantly inside my heart. Only your name will be left on my lips, like a kiss, like a blossom. Krishna. So. It's because this purport is so dense, it is hard to really grasp. And I thought that poetry would bring some of these ideas to get it out of the, the deep study of the philosophy. I'm not really a philosopher, like there are great philosophers here, like Pundarika Prabhu or Nagaraj Prabhu. I've been listening to some of these classes, they are so amazing. But poetry sometimes can convey certain ideas or images that will make us grasp some of these concepts, which are, to understand it intellectually, would be very hard to do. But ultimately, that's the bottom line for a devotee. For the devotee to express our devotion is, you know, we, the object of our devotion, that is that person, that Supreme Personality of Godhead. And I'll finish here with the last words by Srila Prabhupada. Says that the entire matter is explained in Bhagavad Gita, as quoted above. The Lord reserves the right of not being exposed to everyone. He always keeps himself out of the vision of the non-devotees, who are devoid of love and devotion, and thus he puts them still farther away from the Lord. The Lord appeared on the invitation of Brahma, who prayed before the Shirodakshay Vishnu. And therefore, when the Lord appeared, all the forms of Vishnu, amalgamated with him, and when the mission was fulfilled, all of them disintegrated from him in the usual course. So, the other thing perhaps that I can just mention here and we can conclude is that Sukadeva Goswami is talking about how the devotees and also the direct associates of Krishna, they come to this planet and they leave this planet. And when they come and go, they, it's not necessarily that the material nature is forcing them to go or to come. It is that there is, again, it's all controlled by Krishna. And so when the devotees leave the planet, it's because there could be some other service for them to do somewhere else. I remember when Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, she was very, very sick. And he came to Hawaii, and I was taking care of him some days, giving respite to some of his other devotees taking care of him. So I would take care of him sometimes. So one day I was with him at the hospital, and I said, you know, he was very, very sick. He had this melanoma cancer. And I said, Maharaj, well, why are you leaving us? You know, he was 55 years old. He was, I mean, if you knew Maharaj, he was very, very powerful. I mean, he had been a football player. He was a great dancer, amazing. I mean, I've been in kirtans with him where I couldn't keep up with him. I mean, he would dance for 6 hours, 8 hours, nonstop. I had kirtans with him where it was like unbelievable. I mean, we would be jumping in the temple room of the Palace of Gold for hours, hours and hours. You know, but at the time, of course, when you are much younger, in your 20s and 30s, you could do these things. He was a very, very powerful individual physically. And he was just 55 years old. Mm-hmm. So I said, Maharaj, why are you leaving us? I mean, you know, I knew that he was strong enough to remain in this planet. And he said, Tamal is calling me. Prabhupada has another service for me. Tamal meaning Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, I guess. So in other words, that he had been called to do some other service. And no matter what he would do or what therapies he would follow, he had been called and he was about to go. I also remember a class I think was given, again, by Prangovinda here in this temple room. I listened to this a couple of years ago, where he was talking about Bhakti Charu Swami. He said that Bhakti Charu Swami, how the devotees leave this planet just because they have some other service that they are being called to do, and that not that Bhakti Charu Swami was just living like another entity or a spirit soul. So I remember that class because Bhakti Charu Swami has always been one of my great heroes. He was such a great devotee, and I always listened to his lectures, and he was such an amazing devotee, and I always really listened to him a lot. So when he said that, I realized that, yes, the devotees, they come into this planet and they leave this planet, but they are all under the energy of Krishna. They come and go because Krishna makes the arrangements for them to come and go. So Krishna personally is taking care of them on how they come into this planet and leave this planet, which is what the verse is saying here. He wanted to disappear from the face of the earth after dispatching his excessively numerous family members. So in other words, he wanted to make all the arrangements for everyone to leave the planet, and he himself was going to leave, but he left with his own form. Okay, so we'll stop right here and see if there is any questions or comments. I hope I brought some light to this purport that Srila Prabhupada wrote here. It's very, very intricate. But if there are any questions, I appreciate it. Oh, over there. Okay.
Prabhu, Krishna's disappearance, was it just like he was there and then poof, he was not there?
Well, he was there. Of course, there is a story on how he disappeared, right? There was the hunter Jara. That shot an arrow. That was actually the lila or the pastime that is described. I think it will be described later as well.
But it's not that he left his body behind.
No, he didn't. That's what Srila Prabhupada is saying here. He never left his body. He doesn't change bodily forms. Satchitananda Vigraha. So yes, he comes and he goes. It's not like us, not like exactly like us. Like we go, we have to actually, when we pass or the humans pass or any entity, they have to leave the body behind. But Krishna's body is not like our body. That is a very difficult point that Srila Prabhupada is trying to explain here. That is, his body is not the same as our body. His body is made out of Satchitananda Vigraha. So when he left, he just left. His whole body left in his form. There was a question back there, I believe.
Yeah. Okay. Tamal is a name for Krishna and means blackish. Tamal?
Yeah, you can hear.
Tamal means blackish, so maybe he was talking about Tamal was calling him, maybe it was Krishna.
Yes, Tamal was, Krishna calling him. But also, he had a very good, close connection with Tamal Krishna Goswami. He was his Sankirtan leader when he was distributing books in the Soviet Union back then. So I think he met Tamal Krishna Goswami. But of course, Tamal also could have met Krishna.
I read somewhere that Lord Krishna left a body. He left an illusory body just to confuse the non-believers. And so he actually left an illusory body. That is, original body, he went back to the spiritual world.
I don't know exactly about that because I've never read that. Pastime. What you are saying, I never read, but if you could tell us the scripture.
It's definitely in Prabhupada's book.
Yeah.
He left the body behind to fool the atheists.
Okay.
Although Lord Balaram didn't. He got on a giant snake and rode out of the universe and into the sky beyond everybody's wishes. I was thinking, sometimes the atheists argue like that well, if there's a God, you know, why doesn't he come show himself? You know, I challenge him. Like that. So there are such fools that Srila Prabhupada is saying he doesn't have to appear.
Well, ultimately it comes down to that in order to see Krishna as a person or to actually experience the personality of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it requires the mercy of a guru. You really can obtain that knowledge or realization on your own. If you chant so many rounds or if you read so many scriptures, that's good. That is certainly good. You know, like Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he was a great scholar. But ultimately, he knew he needed the mercy of Gorakhisordas Babaji. And Gorakhisordas Babaji, he was not even literate. but he knew the science of Krishna consciousness. You know, he was a very elevated soul, but he needed his mercy. So in other words, without the mercy, you can't get that realization on your own. It's just not possible. So we always have to be praying for that mercy of the acharyas.
Lord Vishuddhar Babaji used to carry two books and he used to sing, but at the same time he is illiterate. I'm confused sometimes. Like, what is that means? He used to carry two books, that is documented, Prema Bhakti Chandrika and Prarthana of Narottam Das Thakur. And he used to sing, open there and sing. But he is also illiterate. What does that mean? I don't know. I'm just taking it as it is.
Well, my interpretation of that is that Gaura Kishore Das Babaji, he could, but just by holding a book, just by holding something that has a power, he could actually feel that frequency, that emanation that was in that book, and he would be able to chant it because he had extraordinary powers. You see, that's what happens with devotees. Once you are under the control of the energy of the Supreme Lord, you have certain powers, mystical powers, so to speak. We are not after those powers, of course. The devotees are not after mystical powers, but they are given to you. Anybody that has done Sankirtan or distribute books, you know that you can do things that they are not ordinarily possible. But there are things that are arranged by Krishna that way. And there are certain frequencies and certain emanations that you can understand that way.
I was going to ask you a comment, recently I was thinking, and also today's purport relevant to this. Am I the maker of my destiny or life is predestined? Now Parikshit Maharaj, as Prabhupada mentioned, you just said, Parikshit Maharaj, when he was born, there were 17 items according to Prabhupada's purport, I remember. One of the items is that he will get cursed and Bhagavatam will appear. Or did Parikshit Maharaj actually acted such a way, subjective and objective side by side, that he acted such a way that Bhagavatam actually manifested? Because Prabhupada also did say he had a power to counter the curse. He had that power. Or Samyak Rishi also could have said to his son, hey, what did you do? This is wrong. Of course he did later on. But he could have taken it back. The curse could be back. So trying to understand, like, subjective way, this is Krishna's plan, it's going to happen, it doesn't matter. Or is it objective? He is actually seeing it, is it manifesting because of him? What is your view on that? Because Prabhupada's life also, I look at it, you know, the song that Prabhupada writes, it looks like Lilamrita said that he struggles so hard to come to this West world. But then when he comes and then he writes, you have brought me here, you have a purpose, make me dance as you like. So did Krishna bring him here, or he was trying to work hard to come and follow his guru's instruction?
Yeah, this is,
I know both, but yeah. How to, maybe tangible way I can grasping.
This is the big argument that I have had for a long time with many devotees. Because, you know, when Prabhupada was in the Yaladuta, there is no question that he was about to die. He had had 3 heart attacks. He was in bad shape. And he prayed to Krishna, if you give me one more day like this, I will not survive. It's just, you know, he knew that was the end. That was the end. He was suffering. Well, was that suffering real? That's your question. Was that suffering real or was Leela? It was real. It's not like Prabhupada, oh yeah, Krishna, I know that you're going to save me. I know that you have a plan for me. Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, you can make me suffer. No, it was real. He was really under a lot of stress. That's the Leela between Krishna and Srila Prabhupada. That's something we cannot really even comment on it, because that's beyond the beyond. It's like, you cannot comment on these things. But as far as I can see, when I read that section of the Lilamrita that you are talking about, to me, I cry.
Gonna do a shared cry?
Cry. Why not?
Just look at me and you'll cry. So what that's a, no, that's a serious point. But it's not that, you know, the fact that we have autonomy and individuality and we have to show initiative, that's also, it's not like that's not part of Krishna's plan. It's not like it's Krishna's plan and then our individual autonomy is separate from it. The fact that we're individuals and have autonomy and initiative and desires, that is part of Krishna's plan. And we have to engage with the plan, being ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's
part
of Krishna's plan.
But we're choosing.
Yeah, but we still have the choice.
We, how can we not have the facility to choose?
Well, we have the choice, but a pure devotee, what happened with a pure devotee is that he knows better. Therefore, he surrenders to the plan of Krishna. But Krishna is always giving you the choice. It's not like, okay, I'm going to force you to come to America. I'm going to force you. No, Krishna is not forcing Prabhupada. But, you know, there is no force here. It's just a loving exchange.
I have a, you know, in this regard, oh. I'm sorry, I'm going to
No, go ahead. It's important.
Just a quick comment. Hey, in the Gorkha Short, that's Babaji's thing. How do we know there wasn't crib notes in those books, like little stickers so you knew which songs? Oh, now I sing this song.
Give him the microphone.
Could be anything.
I was saying, in 1863, if you look at Bhagavad Gita, the whole Bhagavad Gita almost done. According to Prabhupada, 18th chapter, first sloka, purport Prabhupada writes, Bhagavad Gita is done. This chapter is a summary of entire Bhagavad Gita. That's how Prabhupada put it. So I look at it. 1863, iti ite genam akhyatam. I already gave you everything that needs to be done. Jatha ichchasi tatha kuru. Last word is jatha ichchasi tatha kuru. Do as you like. So I was thinking, okay, Krishna wants Arjuna to fight, but he's giving him a choice whether he wants to align with his desire or he still don't want to fight. Of course, 1873, I see Arjuna aligned with Krishna's plan and it pleases Krishna. And I was thinking a lot of time, like, really? Was it a, like a plan, Krishna's plan, that he will speak Bhagavad Gita? I mean, it's true, we heard also. And then ultimately, what makes it Arjuna to actually come to that point, okay, whatever you originally wanted, I'll do. But what if Arjuna did not want to do it? Is it possible or not possible?
Well, he was convinced by Krishna. I mean, Krishna was very convincing on the Bhagavad Gita that that was the proper course of action. I mean, he presented his points. Now, yes, Arjuna could have refused, but that's when we have that chapter 11 and Krishna showed that Virat Rupa, and then Arjuna surrendered to Krishna. See, that chapter 11 is very crucial in one sense. But Krishna showed that Virat Rupa just so that, to give us the lesson that he's everything in this world, including the universal form. And it is for our own teachings. Everything is for our own teaching. Even that pastime that I was talking about earlier between Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj and Gaurakishore Das Babaji is for our teaching. If you think about it, if Gaurakishore Das Babaji wouldn't have given initiation to Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, we wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. So we owe everything to Gaurakishore Das Babaji. Everything. Whatever devotional feelings you have, whatever good in your life there is, you owe it to Gaurakishore Das Babaji. I always thought like that. Gaurakishore Das Babaji didn't have a penny. He was a Babaji. He was very poor. But we owe everything to him.
I also heard from Radhanath Maharaj in one of the lectures that Bhaktivinoda Thakur thought very deeply that those days there was a dynasty guru parampara, not by qualification, by the blood relation. So in future there will be a question, right? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was qualified enough to be Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur Guru, was not a devotion, but he still did not want to have that blood parampara or succession. So he literally told him, you have to go and take initiation from Gopakrishna Devadatta. So that's why his own impetus comes to that.
But that was his guru. That was his guru. And it was no question that that was the guru that he had to follow and get his mercy. And not like, well, if he doesn't give me initiation, I'll just go to another guru. No. That was the only person that could give him the mercy to understand that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is a young boy playing on his flute. And if you want to have that realization, you got to have the mercy from the guru. You can't do it any other way.
Hari Bol, so the Mosala Lila is extremely important part of everything we were discussing earlier. So Krishna removed the burden of the earth in four different stages. One is those demons who came to Vrindavan who had previously been cursed by a sage. Second was all those demons outside of Braj. Third was at the Battle of Kurukshetra with the military phalanx that had amassed on the earth. And fourth was all the devatas who had appeared in the Yadu dynasty who had to return. After that, Baladev Ji, as Prabhuji mentioned, he just, through Ananta Sage, he manifests going back to the spiritual world. But the Acharyas mentioned that Krishna went and sat under a pipal tree, and there he began contemplating. So the question is, what was he contemplating? So the Acharyas have mentioned, Purva Braja Vilase Eitin Abilas. Even after his Vrindavan pastimes, he remained with three desires that were not fulfilled. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, those three desires are mentioned. Chi Radha Pranaya Kidrusam Raniya Eva. What is the nature of Radhika's Pranaya, or Vrijabhasi's, but headed by Radhika? What kind of way does she experience my unique qualities, like my flute playing, my beauty, etc.? Also, what kind of happiness does she experience? So Krishna was left with these three desires. Under the pipal tree, he's contemplating, how will I obtain an understanding of what those three things are? Second thing is, once Rohini mother was speaking to all of the wives of Krishna and Dwarka about what is the glory of Vrindavan, because they wanted to know why does Krishna, in spite of having 16,108 beautiful queens, the most opulent lifestyle, why does he still suffer in separation from a small village? So Rohini Ma then gathered all of those queens to speak to them, told Subhadra, you guard the door, because if Krishna will get wind of this Kataba Braj, he will immediately run here in great distress. So Subhadra stood at the doorway while Rohini Ma narrated all the glories of Vrindavan to the queens. Of course, Krishna came there anyway. And when he came there, him and Baladev, hearing that guitar, along with Subhadra, they manifested the forms we now know as Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra. Narada Muni appears there and asks, oh my Lord, you should manifest this form eternally for the benefit of the world. Krishna says to Tasu, so be it. Under the pipal tree, he contemplated how I will obtain these two forms. In Bhagavad Gita, he mentions, Yam yam smapi smarambhavam tajayate ante palevaram. What you become absorbed in at the time of leaving, those forms you will get. So at the end of Krishna Lila, he contemplates these two forms. He takes one form as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to experience what is the love of Radhika that he could not realize in Krishna Lila. But he wants to have his cake and eat it too. So he wants to witness himself doing it. Therefore, he takes the second form as Lord Jagannath so he can witness this. And finally, because of all of Srimad Bhagavatam and Gopal Champu, after killing Dantaratra, he returns to Braj. And Srimad Bhagavatam, he does not return. He promises, Yashyati, I will return day after tomorrow, but it never happens. But taking the form of Lord Jagannath, at that time during the Rath Yatra, that thing is also fulfilled because, Krishna then taken from Dwarka to Braj, which is Gundicha temple, does take place. So the success of that happens. So the whole Mosala Lila is based in this. When Vyasadeva was writing Srimad Bhagavatam, he got to the 11th canto and described all of how to perform bhakti. In the 12th canto, he then discovers all the problems that will happen to you. Mandasu, Mandavatiyo, Mandavagriva, all these things, he writes. So he's thinking, how will the jivas get this mercy? Then he thinks, he has the darshan. Oh, nama sankirtanyasa sava papa pranasanam. He sees the darshan of Mahaprabhu's lila. He writes that last verse, which is the last verse of the 12th canto. He puts his pen down. He enters Gaur Lila's Vrindavan Das Thakur. So Mahaprabhu's lila becomes a sequel to Krishna's lila. So the Mosala lila is the entrance into that whole thing.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. You know, of course, we only have so much. If we were going to talk for Krishna Katha, we would be here for days and days, and this will never end. But there are other things that I couldn't get to in this class because it was such a long purport. But truly speaking, what you are saying is correct, which is that ultimately Krishna, God, is love. And the face of love is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is the face of love. So how to get this understanding, of course, would take us another 5 hours to discuss that. But the love of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the love, because the face of love is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but it's actually a love that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his love, he's crying also, in Vipralamba, right? In separation. So then, anyway, that would be another discussion.
Very nice.
Thank you very much. Thank you.